Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now in Masechet Zvachim, Daf Hey Amud Aleph. And after having established the sources for the fact that a korban that is brought, must be brought l'shem kodesh and l'shem ba'alim, meaning for the proper type of korban and for the proper owner, we now have an interesting incident that happens, and the entire podcast will be devoted to analyzing that question and answer. Rami Resh Lakish al Ma'ohi Beit Midrasha. Resh Lakish was lying on his stomach in the Beit Midrash, Umakshi. And we'll see that there may have been something a little bit behind this in a minute. Im ksherim heim yeratzu, v'im ein maratzin lama bayin. If such korbanot that are brought shelo lishma are acceptable, are kasher, then they should be acceptable and achieve atonement for the donor. And if they don't achieve atonement, then what's the point of bringing them? So Amar lo Rabbi Elazar, Elazar ben Padat, is standing there and says to him, I have a precedent for that, which is Matzin v'vein lachar mitash en ksherin v'ein maratzin. We have a model of that, of korbanot that come after the donor's death, and they are valid korbanot, and yet they obviously do not achieve any kapara for the person who is already dead. Dinan, the Mishnah in Kinim says, Ha'isha sheviya chatata umeta. A woman who gives birth has to bring a chatat and an ola. A chatat, of course, cannot be brought after the donor dies. However, if she brought the chatat and then she died, yavil yorshin olata. Her heirs bring the other bird, two birds, as an ola. However, olata umeta levi yorshin chatata. The flip is not the case. If she brought her ola and then died, then they do not bring her chatat. But the first part is what intrigues us, because a korban is brought on her behalf, it's a valid korban, and yet it does not count for her, because she's already dead, meaning it doesn't achieve ritzui. So now, Resh Lakish says, Amar le modina lach be'ola da'atya lachar mita. Okay, I'll agree with you that an ola can come lachar mita. Asham da'atya lachar mita menolan, but I'm asking you about an asham. And the reason that he's plugging in an asham is that there are, of course, four kinds of korbanot, an ola, a shlamim, an asham, and a chatat. So a chatat, we already know, if it's brought shelo lishma, is pasul. Shlamim and ola are going to go into the same camp here, and they'll be acceptable, and that he accepts, because, of course, they're not really coming for a chait. However, he says, a korban asham. Why would it be that if an asham was brought shelo lishmo, we still offer it, and yet it's not meratzeh? Where's a model for that? So Amarle, Rabbi Lazar said to him, while Resh Lakish is still on his stomach, Hare machlok techa betzido. You have that machloket in the Mishnah. Because Rabbi Eliezer Omer, af ha'asham, Rabbi Eliezer and Horkanus, as you recall, in our Mishnah, extends the invalidity of shelo lishmo from chatat to asham. And therefore he says, you see, that at least according to Rabbi Eliezer, we've solved the problem, which is, you're right, an asham will not come if offered shelo lishmo. Amar, so Resh Lakish's response is, Zeu shomrin alav adam gadol hu? This Rabbi Elazar ben Padat, who's offering this answer, is a great man? Kamina ana mishneh shleima, I'm looking for something that will encompass all opinions. V'adamar li Rabbi Eliezer, and you bring me the solitary opinion of Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah? Ela amar Resh Lakish, eftach ana pitcha lenafshoi. He says, I'll solve the problem myself. However, that language, eftach ana pitcha lenafshoi, sounds as if he is trying to resolve or to absolve a neder. And it could be that he took a neder. He says, I'm not getting up from here until I get a solution. So he didn't get a solution from Elazar. He says, I'll get my own solution so I can get up. Motzas Fatacha, and he quotes the pasuk we've already seen, Hain Dava, Neder, Huchule, Kidla El, and the editors of the Gemara just said, we're not going to repeat the drasha. We've seen it twice already. And that is that if the korban is brought properly, it's a neder. If not, then it's still brought as in a Dava. And period, end of report. Now that's the story. We have three analyses of this story that take place in Bavel. This story took place, of course, in Tveria, in the second generation of the Amoraim. Now we have analyses that take place in contemporary and in the next generation or two in Bavel. Analysis number one. Yatev Rabbi Zera v'Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abba v'Yatev Abaye Gabayu. So these two Chachamim were sitting there, and Abaye was sitting near them. V'yatvi v'kamri, the two said, Kasha le Resh Lakish, asham lo ati lachar mita. Resh Lakish was bothered by the asham. He said that explicitly. V'nasiv latamuda motzas fatacha, and then the Gemara claims that he solved it himself with the pasuk of motzas fatacha. his own response should have been Ema Haba Ben Edom and Davar Laitid V'Lo Yeretzi. He should have said, good, Motzatz Fatecha only tells me things that can come ben davar or ben neder are brought, and if it's brought incorrectly, so it's still brought and it's not meratzet. But Hashem lo laiti kol, but Hashem could not be included in the pasuk Motzatz Fatecha. So how did he solve his own problem? He was asking about Hashem. So Amar lo Abai, who was sitting near them, answered. He said, Resh Lakish me'acha patach. He says, you're missing the story. There was another piece to the story. His first response was not Motzatz Fatecha, but he started here. V'shachat ota l'chatat. And me'acha patach really means this is how he solved his promise or his commitment to not get up till he figured out the solution. He said, v'shachat ota l'chatat means ota lishma k'shera. We're going to see this in much greater detail in the sukkah of chatat lishma in a few daf. But in the meantime, this is the source for the halacha that a chatat must be brought lishma, and if not, it is a sine qua non, and it is no longer valid. Ota lishma k'shera, it's only the chatat. Ota l'chatat, that is valid if brought lishma, shelo lishma psula, and if not brought lishma, it's invalid. What's the miut? Hashar kodashim shelo lishma k'sherin. From there, we can exclude that other korbanot that brought shelo lishma are still k'sherin. Yachol yeratzu, I might think that if they're brought shelo lishma, they're still meratzeh, meaning that chatat has this high threshold that it must be brought lishman, if not it's pasul. And there's only one other option, which is that it's kasher and meratzeh. Talmud Lomar Mitzvah Svatecha sets up this new reality, which is a korban could be brought for one purpose and still offered up with having with being disconnected from its owner. Okay. Ve'ema, so why don't we say, Haba ben Edom Davar Laiti V'lo Leratzi. So now, why didn't Reish Lakish then answer himself by saying, okay, so an olana shlamim can come and not be meratzeh. Asham artzoi namilirtzi. And then an asham, they're saying back to Abai, if that's the line of thinking that Reish Lakish engaged in, why didn't he then challenge himself, or why didn't they challenge him and say that an asham, why didn't Rabbi Lazar answer Reish Lakish and say, Asham artzoi namilirtzi? Then an asham should be brought and should count. Because Motzatz Fatecha only covers Olan Shlamim. So Amar Baye, Asham de Meratzeh lo Matzi Tami. You couldn't argue that an Asham could come and be Meratzeh. Why? Kal v'chomer mi Ola. Think about this. Uma Ola she'ena mechaperet ena meratzah. An Ola is not essentially a mechaper. An Ola is essentially a gift. It's a doron, as we're going to see a little later on. So it's not coming fundamentally for kapara, and it's not Meratzeh. Asham shemachaper odin sheinam ratzeh, and Asham that's coming because you did a particular sin. You lied under oath about a gzelot, say Asham gzelot. So it's machaper for that particular sin. Certainly it's not meratzeh. You'd have a greater demand of having done it properly, lishmo. So we challenge that. We say that's not the case. Because an olah has a reason for being so chamur. Ma le'olah shekein kalil, and olah goes all up to Hashem. So therefore, maybe an olah has a greater demand, and that is if you do it shelo lishma, it's not meratzeh. But an asham is eaten by the kohanim, some of it. So therefore, it doesn't have that demand. The answer is shlamim yochichu. Shlamim will disprove that connection, because shlamim, of course, are not all burnt up to Hashem. They're eaten by the kohanim and by the donors. And they also have the same demand, that they be lishmo, and if not lishmo, then they are still brought, but they are not, they don't count for the baalim. So the counter is Malish Shlamim Shkein Tun Nesachin Nuat Chazer Ashok. Shlamim have their own demands, which is they require Nesachim, the wine libation, and the Chazer Ashok, which is lifted up and given to the Kohanim as a gift. So Allah Tochiach. So Allah will disprove that that has anything to do with it, which means you got to find the common denominator between Allah and Shlamim, and that is V'Chazar Din Rizek Rizad V'Lo Rizek Rizad. This one's perspective is not like that one's. Khalil on the one hand, Nesachim and Tumat Chazer Ashok on the other. Hatzara Shereshev, and what's the common thing between them? Shein Korashim, Shachtan Shalishman, Shein Vein Maratzin. The only thing Olan Shlamim have in common is their Korbanot, and if you check them Shalolishmo, they're Kasher and they're not Maratzeh, based on Motzatz Fatecha. So Afani Avi Hashem, Shukorash, Shachato, Shalishmo, Kasher, Vein Maratzeh. So I could now include Hashem as fitting the list based on those criteria. No, but if you look at Olan Shlamim, they have another thing in common. Malat HaRashemen, Shekein Yeshtan B'tzibur. Olan Shlamim exist as public korbanot. The Shalmei Tzibur on Shavuot, and Olah every day, all the time. So the answer is Todah Yochiach. The Korban Todah will disprove that connection, because a Korban Todah also has the same rule. After all, Todah was one of the sources we had in the previous podcast, and a Todah could never be brought publicly. There's no such thing as a Todat Sibur. So on the other hand, Mala Todah Shekin Tuna Lachem, but Todah has its own unique Chumrah, which is the 40 loaves that have to be brought with it. So the answer to that is Ola Ushlamim Yochichu. Neither Ola Ushlamim have any demand of 40 loaves or a lot of loaves, and therefore, and nonetheless, they still have this demand. And now we just modify, but we're down to the same common denominator. V'chazar hadin, now with not two but three contributing members. What do those three have in common? Shen Korashim, Shchatan Shlo Lishmon Kasher Ve'Nom Ratzeh, and Avi Hashem Shu Koresh Ushchatan Shlo Lishmon Kasher Ve'Nom Ratzeh. So just like Ola and Shlamim and Todah, the only thing they have in common is their Korashim, and if they're Shechted Shlo Lishmon, they still call them Mizbeach, but don't count for the owner. So the same thing for an Asham. So Mal Tzad Hashem Shven Shehin Ba'in Benedev Davah, but that doesn't work because all three of them, Ola, Shlamim, and Todah, can be voluntarily brought. So the entire line of reasoning washed out, and Abaya's answer as to explaining what the Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Yitzchak, asked a question about why Rabbi Rish Lakish started with Motzas Fatecha. Abaya said he didn't start with Motzas Fatecha, but Abaya's solution wasn't a solution, because we still end up in the same place, which is Motzas Fatecha cannot be a source for Hashem. Ela Amar Rava, Rava comes in with a whole different answer, which is the pasuk says Zot HaTorah LaOlah LeMincha VeChatat, etc. Hekishoa Katuv LiShlamim. The Asham is compared in that pasuk to Shlamim. Ma Shlamim Shein Korashim Shchatan Shlishman Ksherin, as we developed in the last podcast. Ve'in Meratzin Afani Avi Asham Shu Kodesh, etc. So therefore, Asham is like Shlamim, not because of a Tzara Shaveh, but because of a Hekesh. So wait a second, if you look at the pasuk, it says Chatat and Asham and Shlamim. So my chazit akshat l'shlamim, why are you comparing Asham to Shlamim for leniency? Akish l'chatat, compare it to Chatat and make it more severe. The answer is Hamid Rahman Ota. The answer is when the Torah talks about Chatat, it says Ota l'chatat, meaning Chatat is unique, it's the only one that has this high desideratum that is lishmo, with the consequences of being invalid if that fails. That was analysis number one. Analysis number two took place a generation earlier in Bavel. Yati Rav Huna Rav Nachman, Vyati Rav Sheshet Kabayu. So Huna Rav Nachman, some of the giants of the second generation, were sitting, and Rav Sheshet was sitting with them. Rav Sheshet, of course, a colleague of Rav Nachman. Vyati Vikamri, the two were saying, Kashel Rish Lakish Asham Delo Ati La'achar Mita. He was bothered by the fact that an Asham doesn't come La'achar Mita. That's what he honed down as the question. Lema le Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar should have answered him, Hashem nami ati lachar mita. Hashem does come lachar mita. Because what happens if somebody designates an Hashem for a sin they did and they die before it's brought? What happens? The Hashem grazes. When it gets a mum, somebody redeems it, and that money goes to a korban. So that thing is ultimately brought. So Amar Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet interrupted and said, that's not true. Hashem lemai karev, lemotaro. The animal's not brought, it's the pidyon that's brought. Chatat namikrov karbimotarai. You could even have a case where a chatat's like that. Normally, a chatat where the owner dies, or where the chatat was already brought, in other words, any chatat that isn't really needed has to be killed. But there's an exception. Rashi points out the exception. What happens if a person owes a chatat, and they designate two animals leachrayut, meaning in case something happens to one of them, I have the other one as a backup. And he brings the other one properly. The other one now grazes and is redeemed. So chatat nami yikrov karva motara. So that happens with a chatat also. You wait till the moon comes and you redeem it, and that's brought. So you can even have a chatat coming. Lachar mita, theoretically. So chatat avagav de karva motara mir rachmanahu, but the Torah still says that a chatat has to be shmo, and it's not meratzeh. So Hashem nami k'tiv be'yahu, so therefore Hashem should also not be meratzeh. So the answer is no. The word who in the Asham who, is ahu l'achar k'tarat emurim hu dichtiv. As we'll see later in the sugya, that's referring to the definition of the Asham after the emurim are already burnt up, not during the avodah of the shechit or even of the zrika. K'detanya aval Asham lo namar elohu ahu l'achar k'tarat emurim v'atzmo im l'oktir emurim kasher. And by the way, if you didn't bring the emurim, it's still kasher, which means the Asham who doesn't really have legs. And it certainly doesn't say anything similar to a chatat. So this is why, how Rav Sheshet says, your question about Rabbi Elazar didn't give this answer doesn't start, because there's nothing for him to answer. Rish Lakish's challenge is a good challenge. Parenthetically, Ve'alo hu lamali. So why does it say Hashem hu? What's the purpose of it? Because Rav said the following halacha. Hashem shenitak l'riya. Let's say an Hashem was now designated for grazing, meaning, as an example, a fellow had an Hashem, and he lost it, and he got another one to bring, he brought it, and then the old one was found. What do? The first original Hashem now goes grazing, and the minute that it gets a moon, we redeem it, etc. So now, once it's designated for grazing, ushchato stam, and you shechted it without any particular intent, kasher, that's a valid shechita. And the point is, nitak in, lo nitak lo. Only if it had already achieved designation for re'iyah. But let's say that you found it and hadn't yet brought the first, the new one, then it's unclear which one's going to be brought. It's not set aside for re'iyah. And therefore, my time, why is it that if you shecht it at that point, it's invalid? Because a makra hu, an asham, is an asham. Avahavayato yehei. It remains an asham until designated otherwise. It doesn't automatically fall off the asham wagon. That's what hu is there for, but not for anything affecting us. Third and final analysis. Yatri Rav Nachman Rav Sheshet, Yatri Rav Adar Bar Matna Gabayu. So this is happening now a little bit later. Rav Nachman Rav Sheshet now are talking. Rav Adar Bar Matna is sitting with them. Yatri Kam Rav Nachman Rav Sheshet said, Hada Kam Rav Elazar Matzin Mavayin Lachamita Shein Ksherin Ven Maratzin. Rav Elazar showed Rabbi Resh Lakish a model. He said, look, you see the things come Lachamita, they're kasher, and they don't achieve kaparat. So Rish Lakish should have turned around and answered him, let them also achieve kapara. In other words, instead of using that as a proof to me, I'm going to turn around and say, why don't they achieve kapara? So Malan Ravada Ramatna, meaning the example that Rabbi Elazar brought was when the woman dies after bringing a chatat, her kids bring the ola. So the suggestion is that maybe this ola achieves kapara for the Yorshim who bring it. So Rav Adar Matna said, you'll let it, Timi Yalda, Banam Yaldu. She's bringing an Ola because she gave birth. Her kids didn't give birth. So, what kind of kapara would there be? That's a silly question. So, Rav Ashi, this must be Rav Ashi, the proper girsa. Uman le malan di'ika kama ase gaba lomit kapara. Wait a second. If a woman gives birth, and she brings her chatat and an Ola, that she's bringing it because she gave birth. But let's say she didn't eat matzah properly previous Pesach. Or let's say that she, didn't give tzedakah, or some other mitzvah taseh that is cleansed by bringing an ola. Who's to say that the ola she brings doesn't cover that? After all, she gets kapara for her assays that are there, even though they're not the original motivation for bringing it. So the Yorshim also get kapara for many assays that they have hanging over. You're right, they didn't give birth, but they're going to get a kapara. So therefore, the challenge is a good challenge. And Rav Nachman Rav Sheshet have a good question. Why didn't Rabbi Elazar turn around and say, you know what? In the case of the Asham, bring it, there is going to achieve some, sorry, in the case of the Ola, there is going to be some kapara that happens. Rish Lakish should have said this to Rabbi Elazar. There is some kind of kapara that happens, and therefore you don't have a model for me that proves Asham. So, parenthetically, within this argument, Lemember de Kanya Lu, are you telling me that the Yorshim now own the Korban that makes them the owners and therefore they could achieve Kapara? V'hamar Rabbi Yochanan, Yochanan says as follows, Iniach mincha l'shnei v'navumei, if a guy died and left a Korban mincha that he was going to bring, and he left it to his two sons. Kreva, they bring it. V'ein bo shutafut, there is no violation of shutafut. That is, we do not consider this now a partnered mincha which cannot be brought, because it's not owned by the kids, it's owned by the father. If you think the kids are the owners, nefesh ar marachmana. The Torah says it has to be brought by a single person, not by pshutfim. So therefore you see that heirs do not own the korban. The korban's either owned now by hekdesh, or it's owned by the dead person. It's not owned by these guys. So therefore, how could you possibly suggest that the heirs of the woman who gave birth would be the ones to get kapara? You can't get kapara if you're not the owner of the korban. Well, time out. Let's reverse it. V'lo kanya lehu? Wait a second. Don't heirs really own the korban? V'yam Rabbi Yochanan. We bring up Rabbi Yochanan again. He niach be'ema l'shnei v'navumeit. Let's say a fellow left an animal that was hektish. He died and he has two sons. And they inherit it. Kreva. They bring the animal. V'ein memirin ba. But if they try to swap this animal for another one and do tumura, it doesn't work. because the halakha is shutfin can't be memir, and the reason is the entire parsha of Tmur at the very, very end of Vayikra is always in the singular. Im hamer yamir, always in the singular, only an individual can do it. We'll get to that in Masechet Tmurah. So, if you agree that these guys get actually take possession of the animal, then, now I understand why they can't be mamir the animal. Why? Because they're two of them and they're shutfin. Shutfin lamatsu mamirin. Right? Shutfin can't do tmura. Aliyamar lo kanyalu, but if you think that they don't own it, it's still owned by father, then they should be able to be mamir the animal because it's the animal really of a single guy. The answer is Shani Hatam Damar Kraim Hamer Yamir. The Torah said specifically Hamer Yamir Lirabotat Hayoresh. Why did it use the double language? To extend it to a Yoresh. Right, which means that these fellows, as a Yoresh, could be Mamir, but Echad Mimir Ve'en Shai Mimirin. But the limitation is Hamer Yamir is in the singular, therefore only if there's one Yoresh. Which means that they may own it, they may not own it, but there's a Gzerat HaKatuv that the Yoresh could be Mamir if it's a single person. So that doesn't prove anything to our point about ownership. Matgrav Yaakov in Harpagods, he has a side point, which is, why do you say that Hamer Yamir means it has to be a single person? If you redeem Maaser, Pidyon Maaser, L'rabot et HaYoresh, that even a Yoresh could redeem Maaser from the father, for the father. You're going to say only one guy can do it? And we all know that brothers could do it together. Even if father was alive, he could have a partner. And that would work. But father certainly could not have a partner in a korban and be mamir, because partners can't be mamir. So the simple equation here is that whoever can do the act, if it's limited to a single, when he bequeaths it, it can only happen if it's one person who inherited it. But since maser, the father could do with five partners. They got five partners on a farm and be poder the masrot, so if his kids inherit it, they could also be mamir. So that doesn't be goel, be poder. So that really doesn't prove anything. So Amrali Ravasi the Ravashi, he turns around and says, Umina, but why don't you now prove from this exact point, which is, Iyamar Bishlamak Kanya Luhu, if you agree that the heirs become the owners of the korban, Hainu Dechad Mia Mamir. Now I understand why one of them at least could be mamir. Okay, you say if there's partners, they can't be mamir. That the implication is if there was only one son and he inherited the animal from father, he could be mamir. Right? So that proves that they really own it. But if you don't own it, how can you be mamir? Rabbi Yochanan had the famous dictum, Hamakdish Mosif Chomesh. When it comes to redeeming Hekdesh, only the original guy who was Makdish has to add the Chomesh, and everybody else just pays value. Only the fellow who is mitkaper is the one who has the power to make a tmura. He's not allowed to make a tmura, but if he does it, it's valid. I mean, it works in others two animals. A side thing, which is that if you use your own grains or whatever to take truma to include your fellows, and you take your fellows thing out of tevel, then you get to decide which coin to give it to. Right? But the main point is the middle one, mitkaper osa tmura. The answer is mikiva lo machapra mikufti machapra. You're right. There is no real kapara from the essential crime, but there is a little bit of kapara, like a floating kapara, to use the language here. So now, rolling back, we see that the original question in the third or final analysis of Rish Lakish and Rabbi Lazar is, why didn't Rish Lakish say back to Rabbi Lazar that, so let there be kapara after death? Right, and in the case of the Olai, and so Rada Ramatna said that can't happen because they didn't give birth. So Rashi turns around and says, but the woman herself still gets some kind of a kapara from the essays. And what we ended up saying was that's exactly the case. Is there is sort of a light kapara, but not the essential kapara, and therefore that still doesn't count. And therefore it's still a good model that Rish Lakish is bringing up. It says since the essential kapara doesn't happen because you are disconnected from the korban, because brach shelo lishmo, therefore there's a precedent. And now we see why the asham also cannot come le'achar mita. The asham does come le'achar mita and is not meratzeh, is now a model for the fact that, the Ola comes, the Charmita, and it's not Meratzeh, is a model for the fact that if an Asham is brought to the Lishmo, it's still offered, even though it does not offer any Ritzui for the original donor. And we've really successfully completed the three different analyses of the conversation back and forth between Resh Lakish and Rabbi Elazar, and why Resh Lakish was finally able to get off of his stomach lying on the floor of the Beit Midrash. Okay, we'll pause at this point, pick it up now on further analyses of the status of a Korban that's brought Shlo Lishmo. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.